28 minutes. I'm moving on to the hour of 11 o'clock. It's now time for She Speaks right here on Radio Caribbean International. Brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsors, Bank of St. Lucia, Quartz, and Dermalogix. My guest is on and ready, and I'm super excited, especially when you know you're looking at somebody's short bio and you see, oh my goodness, it's short, but it has so much to offer. Got to say a special good morning to Miss Sunita Daniel. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm super excited, and especially the feedback that we got on social media. Everybody's super excited to hear your interview. So let me say good morning to you.
Thank you, and good morning. I hope everyone's fine this morning, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're very, very doing well. Sunita, let's start from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about your family upbringing, and you know, which probably led to you becoming such a successful woman.
I was born in Beaufort. I came from a pretty large family, a very close-knit family, which is not something that's not very familiar in rural areas. My mother had me at the age of 16, and my father was 19. So I had very young parents. I was the first child. I'm the first of six children. Wow. For them. I think by the time my mother was probably 28, she already had six of us. So I had very, yes, I came from parents who were very young. But one of the things that I always knew, and I think all of us always knew, was that our parents always put us first. That's the thing about my upbringing coming out. I think one of the things that stick out the most to me is how you never doubted that these parents you were their first priority always. So that was basically at the very beginning, coming from there. I was also raised by a very religious mother. So from early on, I was a big part of my life was the OJ Evangelical Church, the church community from very early. And so I learned quite a bit from that church environment also. I went to the OJ Combined School. I came from a very closed environment with the community of
Beaufort. That's pretty amazing. Having young parents, one of my questions was it that they were super cool? Were they a little bit not as strict as, you know, traditional parents? Or did you have their parents, the grandparents, being the rod, you know, the people who were just very strict?
Funny enough, my mom was like my friend, eventually very close friends, because we were so close in age.
Yeah.
Dad was very, very strict. My father was extremely strict. And I think from the beginning, I was always a little more cautious around my father because it was like, you always knew there's not a lot you could get away with when he was around. But he was also one who focused a lot on education. You always knew that what was expected of you, he gave you everything you needed, but you better came home with good grades. So that was also a pressure that we always felt is that you must perform educationally. So even as with having young parents, my father was very mature, even at 19, to have a child at 19. And my mom was kind of the counter to my father. So very cool, very easy. And so we had that friendship from very early on. I am a very much a daddy's girl. So I'm very close to my father. I mean, everybody who knows me knows her father. So I'm very, very close to my dad. We developed a very close relationship in my 20s and later on. So I have a very good relationship with my parents up to now.
And that's pretty amazing, especially having, you know, having you young and now you're successful. You know, there's a meme going around that, you know, you want to ensure that when you reach a particular age that you could give back to your parents. I guess that you have that full advantage. And, you know, so kudos to you. I guess that is the advantage also of having children young. I don't know if you agree or disagree with me.
Yes, I think so. And I think people constantly look down on teenage pregnancy. I mean, it's not the ideal. I'm sure it was very difficult for them. Yeah. I know, and having a lot of us, it was a bit challenging for them. But I thank God that they also came from very strong families. So there was always the extended family providing support to them. But my parents did not do the traditional thing of just leaving their children for their own parents. My parents actually were very hands-on parents. They were constantly involved in our lives. I always give the joke to my friends that even when I was at secondary school, I mean, I excelled academically. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes annoyed me that every time at the end of the term, I went out to get a certificate, I looked to the back, the only father there was mine. And I was like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. he was constantly there. And I took part in track and field activities that before comprehensive. And when you look to the side, there he was standing, cheering you on. So later on, I have come to appreciate it. But at the time, I was like, oh, my God, why is he always around?
I can imagine. Let's talk about that. That's something that a lot of people probably did not know about you. You were very involved in track and field. How did you get involved in that field?
I think it's really Viewport Comprehensive and mm-hmm. To that school, I mean, I went to Viewport Comprehensive. That school has really rounded me. That school had a huge influence on my life. And that school pushed you towards achieving the best that you could. So it was not only about academics, but you're pretty much forced also to do sporting activities. Mm-hmm. And so I developed a love for the 800 meters. So I ran 800 meters for the school. I think I was kind of okay. I was not one of the most excellent athletes.
Right.
Who contributed to giving my house points. And you know, Viewport Comprehensive, it's a very competitive school in terms of sport.
Yeah.
And so all raised with that expectation, you must contribute to your house. Even though you bring in water to an athlete, you must contribute to the house. So Viewport Comprehensive, the teachers there, they had a huge impact on my life. I spent from the time I was 11 or 12 when I went to secondary school, until I was about 21 when I went to university, those years were all spent at Viewport Comprehensive. So I went to the Viewport Comprehensive Secondary School. I went to A-level there. I came back and I taught at that school. And I came back and taught economics at A-level at that school. So quite a long period of my life was spent within that setting.
That's pretty amazing, and you're right, because my father also went to Viewport Compre, and he always talks about, you know, how they've molded him and it gave him that love for sports. So kudos to the crew over at Viewport Compre. You went on to study. First off, you had your bachelor's in economics and management. Further on, to do a master's of science degree in public policy and management. Of course, you also have your professional level qualifications in project management. So much. How do you do it?
I don't know. I think when you're raised in an environment where it's expected of you, mm-hmm. At the beginning, I didn't really like it. But then I ended up loving academics. And so it was basically expected of you that you should excel academically. It was always something that I was raised with, that nothing else was expected of you. And so you kind of performed. I always give the joke also that if you didn't perform well, our life was made up of school and church. And so there was nothing much outside of that. And if you didn't perform well, my father would ground you. In those days, he wouldn't call it grounding, but basically taking away something that you like. And my punishment would be you cannot go to prayer meeting or you cannot go to church.
Wow. That's an interesting punishment. To some, that was probably a good thing.
Some, it would be a good thing. But for me, it was like, oh, no, because church is really where I socialized and, you know, the youth group and so on. So that was basically what I had in there. But I grew up around in a system basically that really put a lot of importance on academic achievement. And so for me, I really had to push forward and I saw the importance and really how educational achievement can really take you out of poverty.
What is it that you personally want to study before then moving on to do economics and management? Was that your chosen profession, or did you just settle and then end up liking it?
Right. That's a very good question, because I wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh, wow.
And I applied to UWE, and then when it was time to go, we didn't have the financing for me to be able to study law.
Mm-hmm.
At the And so I had to quickly get something that was within our budget. And so I always liked economics. It's not that I didn't like it. I liked it. I always liked the subject from A-level. But my dream was to become a lawyer. And so when that was not possible, I said, you know what, let me do economics. And I ended up, and that is really, and they always tell you life is funny. You really go according to the path you're meant to go. I'm an economist, I think, by nature. I see and I see life in graphs. Interestingly, when I got to UWE, I did a few law courses and I hated it. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, that I did not do law as a career. I just could not get law. I could not understand it too much. And I was very happy to end that business law, actually.
Oh, my goodness. The universe has its own plan for people sometimes, and you just have to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Coming from a very, you know, religious background, are you still currently active in church? You continue the practice?
No, I'm not, actually. I mean, along the way, I think like a lot of young people, and my mother would not like to hear this, but along the way, I went on my own path. I think the teachings of the church is still a lot with me. It's something that guides me quite a bit, but I'm not somebody who would say I go to church every Sunday and I go to prayer meeting every Sunday. I still have my own spirituality. I still have what speaks to me, but I'm not involved too much in church anymore.
Yeah, and I guess you probably discovered your own way and, you know, your own understanding of how the world operates. Right. Yeah, and of course, from somebody like me too, I understand that coming from a very religious background, you find your own way. And your parents seem to be disappointed, but still in the background, you still have that foundation and a strong belief in spirituality, which keeps you, you know, going. Now, you have some big shoes and you're representing for all the ladies, because especially one of the ones I want to touch on is your stint as the chief planning officer for agriculture in St. Lucia, because agriculture is a male dominated industry. Let's talk about this and that experience.
I ended up at the Ministry of Agriculture by accident. Many people may say by accident, but I really think it's how my life was supposed to go when I get it. So I was asked to take up an economist position at the Ministry of Agriculture, and I did so. And you're so correct. From the very start of agriculture, it's male dominated. So our farmers are mostly men. You go into the policy end, it's male. At the top levels, it's male. And so I worked also at the international level in agriculture, and it's not different. It's very male dominated. Interestingly, what I found was that I got a lot of support from males. A lot of people speak about having the experience of not being supported by the men that they work with, that I have a different experience.
Wow.
I worked with many different ministers who all pretty much supported me and pushed me along the agriculture field, who supported me a lot during my tenure at the Ministry of Agriculture. Many supervisors I had were all male, and I cannot complain in terms of feeling stifled by them. I actually found the reverse. I found that women are actually a lot harder on each other. So it was a little more difficult with the females than it was interacting with the males. Now, the other thing is, like I told you, I'm very close to my dad. And so I learned a long time how to operate in the male world. Because I'm so close to him. And for me, it's very important that fathers recognize the importance that they have in their daughters' lives, particularly, because it gives your daughter a sense of confidence, because you always know how to interact. And I have a very interactive relationship with my dad. So we debate a lot. He forces me to think a lot. He asks very prodding questions, and I'm always on the alert to think. And so I know how to interact with males. I know how to respect them, but also how to demand that I get respect. And a lot of that comes from my own interaction with my own father, who's also a very strong male figure, who's an entrepreneur. And so I know basically how to get along with that. So I've not had a lot of difficulties with the males, I think, in the field. But I think at the beginning, people look at you like, what is she bringing? What does she know? But I could tell you, for example, for farmers, when I first went to a big banana farmer meeting, they saw this little girl coming in, koi kaale, my cafe. And so I felt a little shaken at the beginning, to be honest, because we all know how farmers can be very demanding. Uh-huh. But I think what I've learned, and I learned at that meeting, was that if you came to them with something that they can see you bringing value to their lives, that you know what you're talking about, that you're qualified in the field that you are in, that they actually pay quite a bit of attention and they listen. So now I have an excellent relationship with most farmers and most farming groups in St. Lucia. So I think it's really working and proving yourself. That's what really sets you apart as a woman.
And I guess...
field.
And I guess also coming from Oje, and you speak fluent Patois, and the ability to relate with them, plus adding your level of experience, it makes it made it a plus. Let's talk about experience, because it goes far beyond St. Lucia. Let's see, United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, you served as an economist for them. Also at the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, OECS, the Program Liaison Officer. My goodness, you've done so much. Let's talk about the experiences with these various organizations. Which one would you say, if you have a chance, that you'd go back in without a question?
Okay, that's very interesting. Yes, I have worked. Well, I worked at the national level at the Ministry of Agriculture. I've worked at the regional level at the OECS Commission. And I worked at the international level at the United Nations in the Food and Agriculture Organization. And at every organization, I learned a lot. At every organization, everything, I learned lessons at every one of them. But I think for me, what the one which had the biggest impact on my life was the United Nations. I think the experience there, how staff are treated in terms of how they really contribute to your well-being, how they contribute to you professionally, the opportunities that you get. You're expected to work very hard. A lot is expected of you, but then there's also that tie between what you do and how it impacts people's lives. And for me, that is what was most important. I worked a lot with farmers. I worked on the school feeding program in St. Lucia when I was with them. So these are things that all impacted other people's lives. And so for me, that was very fulfilling. I didn't even have to get paid for that, to be honest. I loved it so much. I loved working there. And I think it's, along the way, it has always been about fulfillment and serving others. So the places I've found most fulfillment is where I've really made a contribution towards serving other people and making other people's lives better. And I did that quite a bit, I found, within the United Nations system.
Now, working for such an international body as the United Nations, and now being the Chief Executive Officer of Export St. Lucia, do you probably, the management styles that you will probably experience at the UN, do you now implement that kind of style working in St. Lucia?
You must be speaking to people in my office now. They constantly have to remind me, this is not the UN, you're not paying us that kind of money.
Oh, wow.
But I frequently bring to them what I've learned there in terms of professionalism, the ethics that I was exposed to, the quality of work that is expected of you there. And I constantly challenge them to reach that stage. I always tell them, Export St. Lucia may not be your final end as a young professional. It should be the very highest levels. And if I have anything to do with it, you'll be very prepared when you get there. So I kind of challenge them to those same standards. They would probably tell you that I'm very demanding. I expect a lot of the team that I work with, but I also give a lot. And I think for them too, they see the value in being able to learn those things, those experiences that they would not have had otherwise. I can tell you that I have seen tremendous growth in the team that I'm working with now. And I think I have learned from them also. I've learned how to kind of change my management style a little more. I've learned those things. But I think that they've also learned from me, you know, the quality of work, what we do, how it impacts other people, to ensure that we always deliver what is best. And I always tell them, our motto is excellence, always. You must be excellent at every single thing you do. If you're writing one sentence, it must be excellently done. And I think that we're seeing quite a bit of improvement here also with the staff. So I have an A-rated staff right now.
And I must say it definitely because now you've seen a lot of social media presence from Export St. Lucia as somebody who's always on social media. So definitely you're doing a good job for sure. tell people a little bit more about your role as the Chief Executive Officer at Export St. Lucia.
Basically, we've moved from TIPA, where it was mostly about promotion, and our name, we were renamed Export St. Lucia. And that's really to ensure that exports got to the market and to increase the value and the volume of exports going from St. Lucia. So my role is really to ensure that the export sector grows. We work quite a bit with the manufacturing sector, mm-hmm. the creative industries. So, for example, you'd hear probably of the Denry segment artists. We've done quite a bit of work for them in terms of getting them bookings at Miami Carnival, in Canada Carnivals. So we do quite a bit of work with the creatives. We also work with farmers. Quite a bit of our work, extensive work, is done with our farmers. And so agriculture, we have an issue with the banana industry, and we've been able to kind of hold against that with, for example, the CMOS industry now. And so Export St. Lucia has been leading on that. And so we've been looking at all the sectors of St. Lucia, trying to see how we can increase the exports of every product out of St. Lucia, not only products, but services. So if somebody has a spa, a consultancy business, any kind of service that you offer, we get business for you outside, but also within St. Lucia, where the tourism industry is, and tourism is also an export. So we work a lot on these activities, and we work with everybody. So I can tell you some of the biggest businesses in St. Lucia are our clients, and some of the smallest businesses in St. Lucia are also our clients. So we work wherever there's a gap for them to address, to get to the export market, we address those. For example, packaging may be a problem. We help them with those. Labeling may be a problem. You want to go to Martinique, you don't know how to do French or to do it, and we do that for you. You may have some initial funding constraints. We also assist persons. And we are now working on something called WISE, which is Women in Sustainable Exports. And it's something that I'm really excited about, is to really push women to exporting their product. And so if you have an interest in exporting, some initial funding will be provided to these women to ensure that they can get to the export market. So we think we've added quite a bit of value to the lives of clients so far.
That's very interesting, because one would just think that Export St. Lucia is predominantly on actual products, and not realizing that you actually help with exporting of services. That's pretty interesting. WISE, we did it very, very briefly, but let's expand a little bit on it, because we have like 6 minutes. And I think it's very interesting, especially for She Speaks. Let's talk about WISE and how that initiative came about.
I'm very pro female. I'm pro people, but I'm pro female and children. I think our people have quite a bit of needs that need to be addressed. And so as an agency, we're always looking to where we can provide some kind of support to them. And one of the areas we found is that women in particular were disadvantaged at some point. So for example, I've said it and I say it constantly, I think I'm being known for that now. Men own the factors of production. So men are the ones with the capital. They're the ones with the land. They're the ones who own all of those. And that's okay. That's how our society is made up of. But women are the ones working that land. And women are the ones who are the employees. And so for us, we realize that a lot of women, though, have quite a bit of interest in being entrepreneurs themselves. And one of the things I learned early is that for every dollar that a woman earns, that dollar goes back right into the family and the community. Mm-hmm. So that full dollar, the first thing a woman would do, and especially if she has children, is go and look for my children's school books. Go and make sure that they have food. Make sure the woman takes care of the family. And so that goes right back into the family. It is a little different with the male counterparts. And so one of the things we've realized is that more and more women are trying to open businesses. Here at Export St. Lucia, it is constant. I cannot tell you the number of women who come to us seeking assistance because they want to start their own businesses, and particularly during this COVID period. And so we figured out a lot of the issues was really getting financing to help them with an area within their businesses where they're lacking. And so we decided as a team here at Export St. Lucia to developed this program called WISE, and our board recently approved it. And it's to give them that kind of support, whether it be technical support. You don't know which market to go to, we'll give you that. If you need some initial funding, we're going to assess that and see how much you need. So you want to work on your packaging, we're going to assist you with that. You need some labeling support, we'll do that. Some people can't do the financing. And so I've assigned our finance officer here at Export St. Lucia to assist those businesses with getting their accounts in. So it's really a program to facilitate women moving into exports and to really broadening their businesses.
That is pretty amazing, and kudos to you guys for doing that. And I hope can we give out your email address? I don't know if you want to take the opportunity now to give out your email address and give out whatever contact information that people can get in front of you, get in contact with you just before we close the interview. Because I have a very important question to ask you. So you can answer that one, and then we go into my very important question.
Anybody who wants any information, you can email info@exportstlucia.org, and it's the entire word, AINTLUCIA.org. And so we have a staff member who monitors that email and would respond to you.
Very well. Now, as we get ready to close down the interview, of course, of She Speaks right here on Radio Caribbean International, brought to you the kind compliments of Dermalogix, Bank of St. Lucia, and Quartz. Very important, you stressed on it very lightly earlier on, and I would just like to redirect to it. What tips can you give to dealing with men in a male-dominated industry? This is specifically to my ladies listening, because you said it very, 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 you know, on the surface, but I think that we have 2 minutes that we can go down as much as you can.
I think that as women, we should not be threatened by men. I believe we're all human beings. Everybody, we're all people. And at the end of the day, what everybody wants is respect. So you should demand respect at all times, but also you have to reciprocate respect. You must also, this is your supervisor, he's male, you have to respect that boundary. And I think the other thing is to make sure that you're competent. It's not only with men, but with people on the whole. If you come to the table being able to debate your point and doing it from a competent kind of position, it assists you in getting your point across. I'm very emotional, and people may say, oh, women are so emotional. I'm very emotional. So I can get angry. I can cry also, and all of these. And these are not weaknesses that women have, actually. These are actually strengths that we have. And it's for us to learn how to redirect that kind of energy and to putting it into what we want and to achieving results. I think at the end of the day is really being competent in the field that you are, being convicted of what it is that you're doing. If you are not convicted that this is the right way, you won't be able to convince anybody else. You must know for yourself that this is what. So you can put me in a room with 100 men and I'm convinced that this is it. Nobody will remember I'm a woman. I'll be just like a man. And so I think for me, it's basically those things. It's just respect, and both parties respecting each other, that you'll really see a lot coming out.
Sunita Danielle, thank you so much for joining us on As She Speaks this morning. Very well said, very informative. And I know my ladies are locked on and they're very much inspired. I'm hoping once again to probably have an interview with you later on, more on Export St. Lucia. But, we'll discuss that on another basis. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's a
thank
pleasure.
You.
It was a pleasure for sure. And that's this Sunita Danielle. I want to thank her so much for joining us on She Speaks, brought to you the kind compliments of Dermalogix, Quartz, and Bank of St. Lucia.